Welcome to this morning's Beis Medrash program by Congregation B'nai Yisrael Sunday morning Beis Medrash program featuring Rabbi Nelson Sachs. Today's topic is Nyanei Sukkos and Zecher Nishmas Dov Tzvi Ben Reb Yaakov Ari Sal. B'kavod Gadol Rav Sachs.
I think this is the first time that we've met on Motzei Yom HaKippurim. Let me begin with some issues pertaining to Yom Kippur and to transition into Bezras Hashem, our Sukkot experience this coming week. We had mentioned the very last year almost somewhat of a paradox regarding Kol Nidrei, that you know, for us it's hard to imagine celebrating Yom HaKippurim without the recitation of Kol Nidrei, but yet this was not always a given. In the time of the Gaonim, it was not at all the universal minhag. The Shibboleth HaLeket writes that Rav Gaonim maintained that one does not recite Kol Nidrei at all. And even in the Sugya Nedarim and Daf Chos Gimel, you find it fundamental machlokes Rishonim exactly what the proper nusach of Kol Nidrei should be. If in fact it is an attempt of Hatoras Nedarim, so therefore the statement should be Miyom Shikipurim Sha'avar Ad Yom HaKippurim Zeh, and that was always the old minhag. And you find on the Daf the view of Rabbi Natam, also found in Sefer HaYashar, that fundamentally disagrees and argues that how can this take the form of a Hataras Nedarim? All of the halachos that one learns regarding a form of Hataras Nedarim, that the person who makes the neder initiates, and it's necessary that he go in the presence of Bezin and Sarif Lefaritas and Neder, that in fact must be stipulated. None of that is occurring when it comes to Kol Nidrei, that somehow it is a public indication of Hataras Nedarim that doesn't seem exactly to conform to the particular Dini HaTorah that we generally find. And therefore, Rabbeinu Tam argued that this was not a HaTorah Snedarim, but rather a form of a Mesiras Moda, but rather it was a public declaration with a future orientation, that any Neder that during the course of the year that I will in fact make, then at times it is considered to be immediately Batel. A person certainly is not renouncing any of the Maisim Tovim that he would do, but nonetheless that it should have the binding power in any shape or form of a neder or a shua. And hence Rabbi Natam argued it should be Miyom HaKippurim Zeh Ad Yom HaKippurim Haba Aleinu Litova. And in many kehilos we follow the practice of the Radvaz and others of incorporating both Nuschos into the Kol Nidrei, that of Rav Rishonim in the view of Rabbi Natan. So two very different possibilities as to whether it is considered to be a form of a Hataras Nedarim, or whether it's considered to be what we term a Mesiras Moda. And indeed, the Gemara does write, Nedam Chav Gimel, that at the onset of each and every year, a person should engage in a form of a Mesiras Moda, a directive toward the future, but not a Hatara regarding the past. But yet somehow this more technical aspect of Hataras Nedarim occupies a position of prime importance. After all, the entire experience of Kol Nidrei is one that seemingly gives rise to much more than Hataras Nedarim. You know, in order to appreciate a certain sense of music, it's always necessary that there be some balance or some symmetry between the lyrics and the melody. And if something is considered to be a triumphant lyric, you expect that to be reflected in the melody as well, and the opposite is quite true. And yet when it comes to Kol Nidrei, somehow the niggun of Kol Nidrei, that's something that is so profound, I would challenge anyone to remember when they were in a shul and heard Kol Nidrei sung to a different niggun. It's one of the universal minhagim among Klal Yisrael. And yet when you would think of what exactly the focus of Kol Nidrei should be, somehow based simply on the melodic niggun, you would think that this must be in a sanatokef, this must be a time of Yemei Hadin. It doesn't seem to fit so appropriately with the concept of a more technical act of Hataras Nedarim. So just a few short points before we start discussing Inyan Sukkos. One I touched on the last year, and that is the amazing power of Hataras Nedarim. That somehow our mindset at times is that a person, of course, has to take note of the present, and a person can resolve toward the future, but rather something which is in the distant past is irrevocable. That how can a person alter that which is considered to be history? And yet, that certainly is not true when it comes to Hataras Nedarim. A person can make a neder and violate the neder and then go before a chacham, and al yedei pesach in charata, the chacham is oker as a neder meikara, and it's as though the neder never existed at all, that tragic avera of violating the isra of shuas, nedarim, charamos, and the like, somehow that is undone retroactively. And part of our incorporating that sense of hataras nedarim is not just merely for the technical aspect that if a person made an neder and breached the neder that there is still recourse, but perhaps on a more fundamental level, that this really is true when it comes to the gift of tshuva as well. After all, as the Shlakish tells us, the Zadonos, Nasek, Kishagogos, and tshuva miyahav is Donos Nasek Kizahuyos, the possibility of transformation retroactively. A person can recall that there was a particular aver that was committed in Al Yedei Tshuva. When you look at your life's journal, you see that on that particular day, you performed a mitzvah. And that miraculous transformation, no doubt, is quite similar to the entire theme of a Hataras Nedarim. And therefore, perhaps by model, we exactly invoke the seriousness of Hataras Nedarim as a reflection, as creating the proper mood and environment for Yom HaKippurim. But if you look in the Medrash Rabbah, in Parshas Kisisa, you find an astounding midrash, a dialogue between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, the theme, of course, of Kisisa is Egel Hazav. The Knesset Yisrael was guilty of a most serious avera, one of the averos hachamuros of Yeharek Vayavar, and as a result, appropriately, that Knesset Yisrael should have been severely punished, even annihilated, because of the avera of Avodah Zarah. After all, doesn't the Pasuk tell us, Zoveach Elohim Yecherem, Bilti Hashem Levada. And the Medrash describes in Parshas Kisisa this dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that, you know, that I cherish my relationship with Knesset Yisrael, but you know, almost kaviyachol, my hands are tied. Knesset Yisrael amaz violated the avera of Avodah Zarah, and therefore the consequence is something that must be imminent. After all, that pasuk of Zoveach Elohim Yacharam, Yacharam is Milashon Shvur. It's as though Kaviyachol Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I took a shvur that if this is what is done, then I have no choice but to respond. And Moshe Rabbeinu responds to Kadosh Baruch Hu and says the following, that, you know, when a person takes a shvur, is there no recourse? Isn't there a possibility of an act of Hataras Nedarim? That it's possible that even a shvuah can be revoked, a shvuah can be rescinded? And the Medrash writes, that's exactly Vayichal Moshe. After all, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, when a person takes a shvuah, ish ki yidah neder, or yishav a shvuah, leser is on afsho, lo yachel dvaro, lo yachel dvaro. But the Gemara's Dorish as follows, when a person takes a shvuah, he cannot go ahead and violate his words, lo yachel dvaro. But the Gemara tells us, abal acherim, but al yedei acherim, al yedei bezdin, al yedei hataras chacham, it's possible to go ahead and to uproot that neder. A person cannot do that himself, but rather it can be done al yedei acherim. Midrash Rabbah writes, that is vayichal Moshe. What we always learn in a tiny sibur of lo yachel dvaro. It's an act of hataras nedarim. And the Midrash depicts exactly this incredible scenario of Moshe Rabbeinu being matir the neder of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that tells us that there is an immediate consequence to such an aver. But of course, Hataras Nedarim requires a sense of unique charata. Is there really the possibility of such charata? So the Medrash writes that Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Tahisa, do you have charata? That you stated that if Knesset Yisrael will be chote, hanefesh achatos titamus, that will be the repercussion, that will be the consequence. And the Midrash writes, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers that indeed, that Tohana, that I have absolute charata, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. Isn't that the meaning of the Kriya Sator in Parshas Vayichal, Vayechal Moshe Hataras Nedarim, that requires an act of charata, Vayinachem Hashem Al Harasha Dibar Lasos Leama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exhibits the sense of charata, and the Midrash concludes that Moshe Rabbeinu says, Mutlacha Mutlacha, I hereby lift that neder. And therefore, that was the process of Hataras Nedarim, Midrash Rabba, Parshas Kisisa, of Nidre Gavoha, of Nidre Shamayim, in order to go ahead and to make such an exception to the Shvua of Schar Va'onesh. So the Zohar writes in Parshas Pinchas, that's Hataras Nedarim. That is Kol Nidre. That's what the Zohar writes. It is not a personal act of Hataras Nedarim. Most of us did so already on Erev Rosh Hashanah. A personal Hataras Nedarim, and furthermore, a personal Mesira Sodah in line with the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore, what exactly is this purpose? That Knesset Yisrael as a whole is Matir the Nedarim Kaviyachol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, that is how we begin the Kedushas HaYomav Yom HaKippurim. If you look even in the Machzer, on the page right before Kol Nidre, or Zerul HaTzadik, what is cited is the Tikune Zohar, and name Rav of Shem Bayochai, that writes a different possibility of a Hataras Nedarim that is implicit in Kol Nidre. And that is the following, that we recite in our davening and our tefillos of Nitnei Chataenu Galino Me'artzeinu, that we realize that as a result of fate we are sent in to Golos. And Golos, no doubt, is a tragic consequence that we experience, our plight and suffering in Golos. It's always a challenge for us. I always mention in Tisha B'Av that the Chasdei Hashem were able to thrive in Golos, but nonetheless, one should not be guilty of the confusion of the Eved Ivri and think that our Golos is something which is an idyllic situation. But now Golos is considered to be a dire onesh. And the only true nechama that we have in Golos is very simply that Ima Anochi Betzara. After all, as Chazal tell us, that Shchinta B'Golos, the Shechina also is in Golos. In other words, that our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something which defies time and space. It's not only true in the Mikdash Hashem, but rather even in Golos, the Shechina is here as well. The Gemara tells us in Makos and Dafyu, that let's assume, for example, Talmud Shegola. Let's assume, for example, a Talmud is sent into Golos, that a Talmud, let's assume, kills B'Shogeg, and therefore it is necessary that he is Gola. Maglin Rabo Ima. The Rebbe also has to go into Golos. The Rebbe cannot remain wherever he is, and allow the Talmud has to go into Golos. He has to simply move, and he has to live with the Talmud. A fascinating drasha. I didn't know that the Shishu word is a pasuk of Maglin Rabo Ima, because simply the pasuk says he goes into Golos, and one word, V'chai. He has to live in Golos. You have to thrive in Golos. Now, how do you live? You can only live when you have that link to the Torah Sashem, and only when you have a link to a particular Rebbe. You know, the Ari Nevi'im, they were not Ari Nidachas. No, the Ari Nevi'im had yeshivas and Rosh Yeshiva and Rabbanim, but nonetheless, the Talmud has the right to demand that, you know, I have an unusual relationship with my Rebbe, and therefore Maglin Rabbo Ima. The Rambam writes in the end of Perek Zayin at Hilchos Rotzeach, that after all, that our life, the life of Baalei HaTorah, Baalei Machshava, Belo Talmud, K'misa Hein Chashuvim. That's where Rambam summarizes this halacha. Therefore, Maglin Rabbo, Imo. And on the broadest sense, this is true of all of Knesset Yisrael, individual sent into Golos, he can insist that the Rebbe accompany him as well. And if we are in Golos, even if it's a result of that which we have done, but nonetheless, Shechintab Galusa, the Shechin accompanies us in Golos as well. And Rav Shimba Yochai writes that is a relationship of a shur, a commitment, a promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Imo Anochi Betzar. If you look in Tikkun Ezoa, printed right in the Machzer, that's exactly the purpose of Kol Nidre. It's as though that the Shechina approaches us and requests from us a certain sense of a Hataras Nedarim. The Shechina is in Golos, and the Shechina realizes the need, no doubt, to accompany Knesset Yisrael. But as we do, the Shechina also yearns to return to the Makom HaMikdash, to return to Hashras HaShechina, but that requires the form of Hataras Nedarim. After all, we were promised that the Shekhinah will be here together with us. You know, Shem Be'achar writes, that's the act of a Kol Nidre. That's the act of Ba'ataris Nadarim. To allow the Shekhinah to be Shoreh B'makom HaMikdash, to invoke Hashras HaShekhinah, and hopefully on those coattails that we also will be able to end our plight in Golos. So therefore, these are three different themes that you find of Kol Nidre. One is that Echarata Me'ikara, which is so similar to our challenge of tshuva. And furthermore, what the Medrash Rabbah writes, incredibly, that this is an attempt to be matir the nedarim in shuas kaviyachol v'kadosh baruch hu, right, which warrants that we are punished because of avera. And then thirdly, considered to be a form of a hataras nedarim when it comes to golos hashchina. Right? You understand in that sense that, you know, the nigin and seriousness of Kol Nidre perfectly matches, right, the wording of the Kol Nidre itself. It's not merely a technical form of our personal Hataras Nadarim. If you were to enter Shul on Erev Rosh Hashanah after Davening and hear someone engaging in Hataras Nadarim to the Nigan of Kol Nidre, you'd probably look and you'd say that, you know, that this isn't exactly a match, but for us it's a perfect seamless match when it comes to Kol Nidre. This is what we do at that particular time. And therefore, the theme of Tshuva that extends beyond Rosh Hashanah Yom HaKippur Mevdir Shoh Hashem Behimotzel, and the theme of Tshuva and Kapara that is so inherent in the Antifah Sukkis as well. When it comes to the significance of the mitzvah of Sukkah, we've mentioned that this is something which is quite unusual. It is not often that the Torah tells us the purpose for a given mitzvah. The Torah tells us we're obligated to perform many, many mitzvahs, but somehow rare that the purpose of the mitzvah is built into the very fabric, very fiber of the mitzvah itself. And here, the Torah tells us the Sukkos Teshu, but the pasuk continues, L'man leidu d'orasechem kivasukos v'shafti, in order that you should always be aware, there must be a constant remembrance of the plight of Knesset Yisrael in the Midbar. L'man yedu darosechem means that the entire purpose of the mitzvah of Sukkah is built into its performance. And somewhat unusual, you look in Shulchan Aruch, Tav Reish Chaf Hey, you find an entire siman devoted to this theme. The timing of Sukkahs, the importance of Sukkahs, the message of Kiva Sukkos HaShavti, somewhat unusual. After all, that, you know, if a person wants to engage in understanding mitzvahs, tamei hamitzvahs, you don't always look first in the Torah. You don't always open the Shulchan Aruch and expect to find tamei hamitzvahs. This is exactly what you find when it comes to the mitzvah of Sukkah itself. And in fact, the Bach points out in that Siman Tav Reish Chaf Hey, that's because here the tam is built in. The tam is Mefurish Bakra, the Gemara writes, the Sugi in Bava Metzia, Kuptesa, and that is that normally speaking, Lo Darshin and Tami Dakra, you have no right to limit or expand the scope of the halacha based on its reason. Rabbi maintains as follows. The Torah tells us, Lo Sach Bavegan Amana. If an Amana comes to you for a loan, you cannot demand a mashkon. Shistan collateral, Lo Sach Bavegan Amana. And what happens if the Amana is not impoverished at all? What happens if this is a exceedingly wealthy woman and she's coming to you for the purpose of investment? You really think I can't demand a mashkon? Rabbi says, absolutely. But isn't the reason because an assumption of poverty? Yeah, but Rabbi says, but the pasuk does not say so. The pasuk simply says, l'sach lo beger amana. The Gemara asks the following steer. What about when it comes to a melech? The Torah tells us, lo yarbla noshim, because not allowed to have excessive wives. Why? Because they will turn his heart away from the Torah Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda argues, Yisa, Ubuvad, Shalom Yehim Asinos Aslibo. Rabbi Yehuda says it's okay, you can marry many women as long as you make sure that they will not deter you, you will not be sidetracked from the Torah. Isn't that exactly Darshin and Tam Dekra? So the Gemara says that's not a contradiction. When it comes to the Sachbo Begar Amana, the reason is not mentioned at all. If a reason is not mentioned, Chumash, you have no right to limit the scope of the halacha based on the reason. And to answer, well, the halacha only applies here to an almana who is an aniyah, and not to an almana who is an ashira. When it comes to a melech, the pasuk says, v'lo yosulavava. Rav Yehuda says, if the pasuk states the reason itself, and everyone agrees, darshin and tami dekra, that's an important principle. that if the reason is explicit, the reason is built in. And therefore, if the reason for the mitzvah of sukkah is explicit, that is an inherent part of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. The Bach writes in Tafresh Chafei that you will not fully fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah if you lack this realization. And the Aruch HaNer writes in Bikur Yaakov, in that simen, where you won't fully fulfill mitzvah, it's ma'akev b'di'evin. You will not fulfill the mitzvah at all if you don't have the proper mindset when it comes to the mitzvah of sukkah. Not merely the kavanah that I'm performing a mitzvah, mitzvah srichas kavanah, what you find in Shulchan Aruch and Simen Samach, but also the second form of kavanah as well, kavanah as to not the fact that this is a mitzvah, but the significance of the mitzvah itself, of l'man yedu d'rosechem. And the Aruch HaNer points to the very opening Mishnah Maseches Sukkah, that if you have a sukkah which is so tall that in the normal line of vision you will not perceive of the schach, that is a sukkah psula. Why is it so important to see the schach? I understand the din d'rabbanan that you have to see the menorah, because there's no persimonis that a person will not be able to visualize the menorah, but when it comes to the din d'oraisa of sukkah, why is that so critical? So among the various reasons, the Gemara cites the pasuk of l'man yedu d'oraseichem. Of course that's critical. The entire purpose of yeshiva l'sukkah is to see, to realize, to internalize, and therefore it is absolutely necessary that the sukkah be within the normal range of vision, and therefore it's sukkah, which is gemara l'mala nesrei mama, that is considered to be a sukkah psula. So this is clear, and therefore the Mechaber, the Tur, devotes an entire simon, as you know, to the timing of sukkahs. Why do you celebrate sukkahs at this time of year and not during Chodesh Nisan? What exactly is its significance? The Machlokas and Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph. Whether sukkah is supposed to commemorate Sukkos Mamish, or whether it's reference to Hananei HaKavod. Interestingly, Rashi and Chumash and the Tur in Tafresh Chafei quote right, that view in Tanaim. Different yourselves whose shita exactly this is of Ananei HaKavod. The Sukkos of Shafti means that we recall the fact that we were sheltered by the Ananei HaKavod. When the Torah is bothered by the timing, if this is true, the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, isn't that indeed Chodesh Nisan? Why is it that we celebrate Sukkot at this season? And you know the answer of the Torah, that has to be apparent, it has to be something which is obvious, and Chodesh Nisan is quite commonplace for people to be enjoying the weather and sitting in their huts outdoors, and therefore it is not as obvious that one is doing so with Shem Mitzvah, and in order to emphasize that fact, therefore we celebrate Sukkot at this particular time. Again, the Kasha of the Torah is an important one, the timing of Chag HaSukkos, and perhaps the answer that the Torah gives, just simply that it be somewhat recognizable, doesn't fully resolve the timing issue. Okay, we understand the need for this season, but why this particular day? Somewhat unclear. I often mention right, the view of the Gaon in his Pirush on Shir HaShirim, Perek Aleph Pasuk Daled, where the Gaon writes as follows, that Ananei HaKavod is not referring to the Ananei HaKavod that accompanied Knesset Yisrael initially when they were leaving Eretz Mitzrayim. That was a great nace, but we don't always commemorate every nace with a yontif. There was the nace of the Slav and the Be'er and Ananei HaKavod and the Mun, but not everything has its own yontif. There must be something unique about Ananei HaKavod, and this no doubt is the link to that element of Yom HaKippurim. The Gaon writes as follows, Bnei Yisrael Rezocha, to be protected, sheltered, shielded by Ananei HaKavod, and all of a sudden, the Chet HaEgel. And at the time of the Chet HaEgel, that stopped. The Ananei HaKavod no longer protected Knesset Yisrael in a very literal sense, these Ananim disappeared. And Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to receive the Torah Hashem, again the Luchos Shnios. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to secure kapara for Knesset Yisrael, exactly that dialogue of the Kol Nidre, of the Hataras Nedarim. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, Yom HaKippurim, Luchos Shnios, Salachti Kidvarecha, that was the time of Slicha Mechibul Kapara, that was the uniqueness of Yom HaKippurim. And Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai with a mandate, with the charge of Osle Mikdash. You're obligated to go ahead and build the Mikdash Hashem. And the Medrash describes in Shir HaShirim that exact timing, that Moshe Rabbeinu came down on Yom HaKippurim, the next day Moshe Rabbeinu in charge Knesset Yisrael with building the Mishkan. The Medrash describes the coming days, that it was necessary for Bnei Yisrael to gather baboker, all of the materials that were necessary for Hakamas HaMishkan. And the Medrash tells us, and the Mishkan began to be built on the first day of Sukkot, on Tesvav Tishrei. That was the time of Hakamas HaMishkan. And as the Mishkan began to be rebuilt, the Anani HaKavod returned to protect Knesset Yisrael. The Gaon writes that the message of Sukkot, of Anani HaKavod, is not the initial Anani HaKavod, but rather the acceptance of the Tshuvas Yisrael, the return of Anani HaKavod, that intensity of Hashras HaShchina, and that is Kivasukkos Soshafti. According to the Gaon, not just simply why do we celebrate Sukkot during this season? According to the Gaon, it's obvious why we celebrate Sukkot on this day. This is the day in which the Anani HaKavod returned. This is exactly Leman Yedu Doroseichem. That's the Chiddush that the Gaon writes. You know, it fits in beautifully with what you find in the Siddur Hagra on the Tefillah of Yontif, Atalach Atanami Kol Hamim, Ahavto Sono V'ratzi Sabanu, a threefold phrase. What exactly does that refer to? So, in the Pirush in the bottom of the Siddur Hagra, it mentions B'Shem Hagra, that it refers to Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. When were we chosen as the Am HaNifchar in a most practical sense? That was the significance of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Chag HaPesach. And Ahavto Sanu is a reference to Chag HaShavuos. After all, we describe in our kinos Kabbalah Sator as being Chitun Chukei Choreb. It means Kaviyachol, the Hasana, the Ava, between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. So Atavach HaTanu is Pesach, and Ahavta Osanu is a reference to Shavuos, and now V'ratzisavanu, the Gaon writes, Ritzui, that is a reference to Sukkot. And why is V'ratzisavanu a reference to Chag HaSukkot? Now, according to the Gaon in Shir HaShirim, isn't it so obvious? That's the essence of Chag HaSukkot, the Ritzui, the Kapara, the supplication, the Mechila, that Knesset Yisrael attained on this day of Sukkot. And therefore, exactly, V'ratzisa banu in our tefillah, that is a reference to Chag HaSukkot. You know, the Meshech Chachma has a fascinating ha'ara, that if you look earlier in Chumash, you do not find this yantif with the name of Chag HaSukkot. It's always referred to as the Chag HaAsif, the Chag HaAsif. It is only la'achar chet ha'egel and hakamas ha'mishkan that you find that the Torah uses the term of Chag HaSukkot. Yeah, that's exactly the Chiddush of the Gaon, that the Sukkos are Anani HaKavod that returned. And therefore, any reference to this Yantif prior to that is that we celebrate the Chag HaAsif, the Chag HaSukkot that is uniquely true at that particular time. You know, Tosfos raises an interesting issue, Sachim Kuchesim and Beis, that we do have a principle of Afei Hayabal Sohanes, and Tosus in Megillah and Daftalit is willing to apply Afei Habos Neis even to Mitzvos Min HaTorah, three different deos in Tosus. Whether Afei Habos Neis only applies to Mitzvos Derabanan, like Kriyas HaMegillah, Ner Chanukah, Delakosos, or no, it can apply even to Mitzvos Min HaTorah as well. But Tosus is quite bothered. Why don't we assume that Afei Habos Neis should apply to Sukkot? And if we're obligating in a woman in the mitzvah of Seder and in Ner Chanukah and Kriyas HaMegillah because of Afei Habos Neis, then why is it that we don't obligate women in Sukkah? We know women are exempt from the mitzvah of Sukkah. That in fact is Tosfos' kasha. Very different possibilities. One day in Tosfos is exactly that chiddush that maybe Afei Habos Neis only applies to mitzvahs d'Rabbanan. This is a rabbinic concept within Ner Chanukah, Kriyas HaMegillah, Dal Kosos. When did Chazal obligate women in mitzvahs d'Rabbanan, but really not relevant to mitzvahs min HaTorah? If that's true, that's a fine teretz, but that is not universal. As mentioned, Tosfos has two deos in Megillah and Daf Dalet, two additional deos that maintain that Afei Habos Neis could apply even to mitzvahs d'Araisa as well. Right, perhaps in light of this gone, one could understand if the entire significance of the Anani HaKavod and its return was the kapara, was the response to Cheta Egel. So in such a case, perhaps one could argue that exactly this point, that women are not obligated in this particular mitzvah of the Torah, that women were not guilty of participation in the Cheta Egel. And after all, if that was the entire focus and thrust of the mitzvah of Sukkot, right, so perhaps that could give an additional insight into why it is that women are exempt from this particular mitzvah. You know, the Machaber writes in Tav Resh Chof Daled, the Shulchan Aruch tells us the Chiddush of Ramah, the Telchu Michayel Ochayel, that already on Motzei Yom HaKippurim, right, the person should begin the mitzvah of Sukkah, begin with the element of Asiyas HaSukkah. And it is an interesting issue, the Nesid discusses this in Shultos Kuf Samaftes. Is that usually true of Zrizim HaKdim HaMitzvahs? You know, we're used to Zrizim HaKdim HaMitzvahs in the following sense. You have a mitzvah that can be performed on the entire day, like Bris Milah. Zrizim HaKdimin dictates that you do it earlier in that day. You don't do it the previous day. You don't do it 2 days earlier, 3 days earlier, 4 days earlier. Zrizim HaKdim is usually within the root Zaman HaMitzvah. The Netziv discusses that why is it that when it comes to Sukkah, somehow the Zrizim HaKdim means already a Motzei Yom HaKippurim. Interesting issue. According to the Gaon, perhaps the reason again is obvious, because Moshe Rabbeinu came down to Luchos Shniyos Yom HaKippurim, and the Tzivui of Hakamas HaMishkan was on Motzei Yom HaKippurim, which was that initial stage of the return of Anani HaKavod, and therefore perhaps exactly that is why the Esek Pesukah should begin exactly at this particular time that corresponds to the efforts of Knesset Yisrael in terms of Hakamas HaMishkan itself. It is interesting that there is a ritzvah in the name of the Bali HaTosos that seems to characterize the mitzvah Sukkah differently. You know, the Gemara Sukkah in Daf Tes tells us that one cannot fulfill the mitzvah Sukkah with a Sukkah gzula, with a stolen Sukkah. And how do you know that this is true? The Gemara quotes HaPosuk, Chaka Sakostasa Lecha Lecha Lahotzi Es HaGzula. Tosos is bothered by the following. Why is the Pasuk necessary? After all, don't we have a broader principle of mitzvah haba be'avera? You cannot steal a karban. You cannot steal a mulav. And if you do so, it's not merely that you violated the isra of gezel, that's obvious, but much more than that, that will prevent you from fulfilling the mitzvah. It's not just I stole, but now when I go ahead and I'm not a lulav and esrav, I don't fulfill the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. And the Rambam seems even to indicate, that mitzvah of Avera itself is considered to be an Avera. The attempt of such hypocrisy to fulfill a mitzvah Hashem through the tool, through the vehicle of Avera, that itself, the Rambam writes, is a separate Avera. You're better off not doing it at all than doing it in this fashion. That, the Rambam writes, is the thrust of a mitzvah of Avera. So if this principle is so prevalent, why is it necessary to have a pasuk to tell us that you don't fulfill the mitzvah if one would sit in the stolen sukkah? So Tosus and Sukkah that test writes an answer that we don't accept the halacha, and that is that mitzvah b'aver is only d'rabbanan. Only d'rabbanan. Well, unusual. Now the real din d'arayis is sukkah. That's l'cha l'hotzi esagzula. Any other application, right? That's only considered to be a din d'rabbanan, not a chiddush. We don't assume that way l'alacha. We assume, even as Tosfos said later in Sukkah and Daf Lamed and Amud Aleph, that mitzvah habal be'aver is a psul d'araisa. It's not just simply that which is d'rabbanan. And therefore, right, Tosfos is bothered by this difficulty. Why need a pasuk? What is wrong with mitzvah habal be'aver? If you look in Minchas Chinuch, Minchas Chinuch wrote a fascinating suggestion, right? Much has been written about this. It's a very popular theme during Chag HaSukkos, and that's as follows. How do you finish the line? Mitzvah haba be'avera, right? So mitzvah haba be'avera ain't a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. I understand, it's not a mitzvah. You know, when it comes to Sukkah, Minchas Chinuch writes, it seems away from the Rambam as well, that Sukkah has different halves to it. You know, many mitzvahs, the mitzvah of lulav and esrog. You know the lulav and esrog, you fulfill the mitzvah. You don't fulfill the mitzvah. But Sukkah seems to have an additional tier A person eats in the sukkah, he's fulfilling a mitzvah. Let's assume a person does not eat, he's not fulfilling a mitzvah. But what about being koveya sukkah achila chutz the sukkah? Sukkah interestingly has a certain element of iser as well. It's not just simply positive, you must do, but also you must refrain. You have to refrain from achila chutz the sukkah. And it comes, for example, to the mitzvah of tzitzis. A person will don a beged of dalit kanfos with appropriate tzitzis, you're fulfilling a mitzvah. A person doesn't wear a beged al kanfos, so good, not here, not there. A person wears a beged al kanfos, believes tzitzis, so therefore, right, there's an element of iser, which is involved as well. It's not just simply a key mitzvah where there are two options. Did you take the Levin Esther, or in fact, did you not? It's an interesting chiddush. Here, Menchassino suggests as follows: mitzvah ba'beve ain't a mitzvah. A person would eat in a sukkah gzula. He doesn't fulfill the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. Good. He will not be credited with the schar ha-mitzvah. But you know, that person will ask you, but is that like eating in the house? Is that like eating chutz b'sukkah? One could argue that true, that because of mitzvah ba'beve, the schar mitzvah I will not receive, but nonetheless, undeniably, I'm sitting in a sukkah kshera. That should be kind of not here, not there. That should be that intermediate stage. No, the Menchassina writes, that's the chiddush of the pasuk, that a sukkah gezula is a sukkah psula. It's like eating right outside the sukkah, and therefore that is the iser of achila chutz sukkah. That is like being kovei suda b'chutz b'bayis. It is not just simply the element of a schar mitzvah. Interesting chiddush that the Menachas Chinuch, in fact, writes. He writes another teretz as well, why mitzvah babavera is so important. Let's assume, the teretz is a little technical. Here, let's assume the following. A person has their sukkah, and there's avir. There's 3+ tfachim of airspace, right, that runs down the length of the sukkah, separating one side of the sukkah from the other. So in such a case, the sukkah is a sukkah psula. Avir will pass the sukkah with Gimel Tfachim. That's somewhat unusual. Let's assume, for example, a person will take Tzach Puzzle. A person will take a big piece of metal, and he will plug that gap. Interestingly, the sukkah would be kosher, because the shear of Tzach Puzzle is Dalet Tfachim, and the shear of Avir is Gimel Tfachim. So that's interesting, right? That gap is considered to be even worse than Tzach Puzzle. The shear is considered to be a smaller one. Imagine a person, for example, has this gap, you know, and he doesn't have anything to plug that gap, to plug the hole that you have in the schach. So he goes ahead and steals, for example, schach, right, in order to go ahead and to align with those three tfachim. So he'll tell me, oh, you know, you stole that schach puzzle. That person will respond and say, good, schach puzzle will help me, because Schach Puzzle, the shear is Dalet Tfachim. I can plug my Gimel Tfachim with Schach Puzzle, which would mean that as a result of my Avera of stealing the Schach, my Sukkah becomes now a Sukkah Kshera. That the Menachas Chinuch writes is Mitzvah Haba B'Avera. If you only had the Puzzle that tells you this is not Kasher Schach, that wouldn't be sufficient. Here, Puzzle Schach can work to your advantage, and therefore Mitzvah B'Avera means you cannot rectify. You cannot be machshir isukah, right? Al yedei the avera of gezel. So that's a more technical discussion Chaskina has, right? Of why both reasons, in fact, are necessary. But again, if we have a principle of mitzvah b'avera, why do you require a pasuk? Why is the pasuk needed? So the Ritva Sukkah Daptes quotes the name of Bali Atosos, a fascinating teretz, and that's the following: that mitzvah b'avera does not apply to all mitzvahs. Doesn't apply to all mitzvahs. It only applies to mitzvahs that are ba'os l'ratzos, a mitzvah whose purpose is supplication, whose purpose is to secure kapara. We mentioned this before, Rosh Hashanah. What are such mitzvahs? Well, karban certainly is l'ratzon lifnei Hashem, and therefore stealing a karban is a mitzvah b'avera. Mitzvah b'avera is found in the Gemara when it comes to lulav. That's apparently an interesting chiddush, that lulav is not just a mitzvah of netila, just take the dalet minim, but much more than that. Right? It is an act of ritzui. It's similar to hakravas hakarban. You know, it's not surprising. We incorporate the dalet minim into our tefillah, into halel, nanuim, hoshanos, You can't use the lulav hayavish, you know, but it's never so explicit in the Gemara. What's wrong with the lulav hayavish? Yeah, it's interesting. If looking at Yerushalmi calls the pasuk that we're saying halal, lo hamesim yaluka. You can't praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu something that's dead. No. In other words, the attempt of lulav is like halal v'hoda, praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Balamor calls the pasuk in the end of Malachi, hakrivehum alafecha secha. Would you offer a dead branch? Right, to the king, to the minister, Ayitzicha, Oyisa Panecha, would that invoke Ritzui? In other words, that is part of the mitzvah of Dalet Minim. And therefore you can understand that there is a psul of mitzvah haba bi'aveir. Mitzvah haba bi'aveir. The Ritzvah writes in the Bali Atosos, that's not true when it comes to Sukkah. There's a mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah, but is that a mitzvah which is Balar Atos? The Bali Atosos right now, and therefore you can't apply the principle of mitzvah babi avera, and that is why you need the pasuk of chag sukkos tasalacha v'hotzi asad v'zvur. I would just raise the issue that according to that whole explanation of the Gaon, isn't that the essence of the mitzvah of sukkah? V'ratzisa banu. It is not merely a mitzvah yeshiva, but rather, right, I would characterize that as a mitzvah, which certainly is in fact Balar Atzos. There are different degrees of reaching Odat, and this commemorates the Ritzui of old, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, forgave Knesset Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel, that form of Ahataras Nedarim of the Medrash, but nonetheless, I think it would be surprising, according to the whole construct of the Gaon, to characterize the mitzvah of Sukkah as one which is a mitzvah which is not ba laratzos. With this in mind, you can understand one further point as well. I've mentioned it's quite unusual that you have a mitzvah whose reason is so explicit, and therefore it's part of the very fabric, the very essence of the mitzvah itself. You find that when it comes to tzitzis, after all, when it comes to tzitzis, the Torah tells us we're obligated to wear the tzitzis. Why? L'ma'an tizko. To remember all the mitzvahs Hashem. Interestingly, the Machaber writes in Simen Ches, you should also have that in mind. Whenever the Torah says, do this, l'ma'an, in order to do that, you have to have that in mind. So the Machaber writes in Simen Ches, realize, when you're wearing the talis, the tzitzis, it's a reminder of our obligation to fulfill the mitzvahs Hashem. You find it in Simen Chotei, when it comes to tefillin. Why is it we put on tefillin? The Torah tells us the very end of Parshas Bo, L'man tia Torah Hashem b'picha. The Torah Hashem should always be with us, always should be fluent in our mouth. And also, it serves to remind us of the fact that Hashem took us out of Yitzrayim. That's quoted in Shuchnach and Simen Chafei. The purpose of tefillin. You understand very well that these are mitzvahs where the Torah underscores its reason, its purpose, and therefore, this is something which is essential. And then you have it when it comes to Sukkah as well. You know, the reason of tzitzis, the reason of tefillin, I understand that should be a constant mindset. That's pretty important, no? Realize l'man tizkru v'asisim. Realize the mitzvah Hashem and our responsibility to fulfill, to perform the mitzvah Hashem. That's a pretty important message. L'man tia Torah Hashem b'ficha. I understand the primacy of the Torah Hashem. That is something that should always be with you. Why is that so important? HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected us in the Midbar, as I mentioned. We also had the Man, we also had the Slav, we also had Rami HaKadosh. There are many, many great Nisim and Chasadim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon Knesset Yisrael during their plight in the Midbar. Somewhat surprising that this is the one that we celebrate above and beyond everything else. We have certain mitzvahs Rabbanan as a Zeicha L'man, but you don't find mitzvahs Daraisa as a Zeicha L'man. Why all of a sudden here that an entire yontif of L'man Yedid HaRoseichem? Perhaps this can be fully understood, right, with that message of the Gaon. It's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed a chesed. That's true, undeniably that's the case, but it's much more than that. It's for Ratzisa Banu. This is the message of Tshuva, the message of Kapara, the opportunity of redirection, the return of Banani Akava. And that, I would suggest, is paramount. That ranks among L'man Tizkru V'Asisem, that is L'man Tia Torah Hashem B'Ficha, and therefore, this is among that select host of mitzvahs where the Tam is considered to be that which is Mefurash Bekra. The element of this Ritzoy that was involved in the mitzvah of Sukkah, we alluded to last night in Tfilas Ne'ila, that Yachbi Eini Tzel Yada. Like when we spell out HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that He should shelter us, literally, with Tzel Yad Hashem. With the shelter, with the shade, provided by Kaviyachal, the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And what exactly is this reference? Yachbi Eini Tzel Yada, to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should be Zofeh, to that sense of Gilui Shechina, Hashras Hashechina, to be sheltered, to be protected by the Yad Hashem. Rosh Shlomo Zalman once suggested an incredibly beautiful idea that is exactly the performance of the mitzvah of Sukkah. After all, that Al Shem HaTzel, after all, isn't Tzel such an inherent part of this mitzvah of Sukkah? After all, that one of the conditions of Sukkah is the abundance of Tzel that is provided by the Sukkah. After all, that is Yachbi Eini Tzel Yada. That the Sukkah is supposed to be our protection, not because of our fortified homes, the Diras Keva, but rather the intense and infinite protection that we receive, shielded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yachbi Eini Tzel Yada. That's the reference to the mitzvah of Sukkah. Rosh Shlomo Zalman had an amazing image. Let's assume, for example, that you want to exhibit a certain sense of love and endearment toward another person. And you take your hand and you embrace that individual. It's as though Kaviyachal that we're being embraced by the Yad Hashem. That's the significance of the mitzvah of Sukkah. Imagine you take your hand to embrace an individual. Isn't this exactly the configuration of the sukkah? That there's a single dofen and a second dofen. And shlishis, right? Afigo tefach. This is the shir of the tefach. No? That, Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes, is Yachbeinu Tzel Yada. That's exactly what the sukkah is. It is the image of being embraced Kaviyachal by the Yad Hashem. Therefore, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Tes, sukkah is not just simply hook to the mitzvah. Hook to the mitzvah. That's a sukkah in Shabbos Memei. Sukkah Daf Tes, Chal Shem Shamayim on the sukkah. Tosu says Adin Daraisa. The unique status of sukkah is not just because it's a chefter shal mitzvah. It has Kedusha on a level of Daraisa. That's Tosfos of Kasha there in Beis and Daf Lamed. But why is it necessary to have Hukta L'Mitzvaso? It's Adin Daraisa. Why Chal Shem Shamayim Al HaSukkah? Rosh Shlomo Zalman explains, Yachbi Eini Tzel Yada. This is the image that we have of being sheltered, shielded by the Yad Hashem. And therefore, Hukta L'Mitzvaso. You know, the Gemara does tell us that when one speaks about Hashras HaShchina, where is the Shechina? The Gemara tells us that, you know, that the Shechina does not hover immediately on the ground. The Shechina is always Shore L'malamei Asara Tvachim. Isn't Asara Tvachim the minimal height, right, of the height of the Sukkah? No, the Mechitza has to be 10 Tvachim. Once you reach 10 Tvachim, then we have a principle of good asik. Now, then all of a sudden we have a right to extend. If something is beneath 10 tefachim, that's it. It stops. Once something reaches good asik, so therefore, your mechitza can be here, the schach can be there, no problem. Because once something is 10 tefachim tall, it is ola ad harakia. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yad Kaviyachal. Now we reach out in order to go ahead and to meet the Yad Hashem, Yachbeinu Tzel Yada. So therefore you set up that configuration with a shear of 10 tefachim, good asik, and chal shem shamayim, ala sukkah. This is all part of that lesson of Barasisa. This is the image, right, of this mitzvah. Not merely a mitzvah among mitzvahs, a mitzvah yeshiva, a mitzvah of being koveya adiras arai, but much more. Now this is the manyegu dorasechem kivasukkah soshafti, according to the Gaon, that the very process of Ritzui and Kapara, linking Yom HaKippurim with Chag HaSukkos. And therefore, no doubt, the lesson of Sukkos is one which is a lasting one. To realize that ultimately, that we are sheltered and shielded not by, right, the physical walls and roof that normally house us, but rather by what seemingly is only a diras arai. And even when sukkah is over and you kind of re-enter your home, but you do so with a very, very different mindset, with a very different perspective. Once you experience, right, that zchus of being dar in the tzel yad Hashem, chal shem shamayim al sukkah, so that transition is something which is critical. It's necessary for that message to linger throughout the entire duration of Yantif. And that's part of the challenge, no doubt, of Chag HaSukkos. Not merely the experience of Yantif, but integrating Yantif throughout the entire year. You know, I often mention that we celebrate Shmini Atzeres because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Koshalai Pedaschem. You know, we usually kind of end there. You know, that unfortunately, the Yantif now comes to an end, Koshalai Pedaschem, one more opportunity. And then what? And then we separate. So Chazal so magnificently saw Koshlai Padaschem as the challenge. That's not the response. That's the challenge. Right? The challenge is the Yantif is coming to an end, and with every ending there is a certain separation. And our challenge, no doubt, is to see too that that is not the case. That the conclusion of Yantif does not result in Birut. It does not result in separating ourselves from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Koshlai Pedaschem is not the answer. That is the challenge. The challenge. And you know what the answer is? The answer is in Eretz Yisrael the same day, and for us back-to-back days, the answer is Simchas Torah. That's the answer to the challenge of Koshlai Pedaschem. A person had this opportunity, right, to carve that relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu, and now the Yantif is coming to an end, and that means going back to the normal routine, to leaving the Tzal Yad Hashem, to leaving, right, that abode which is Chal Shem Shemam Alav, and then says that no, the Simchas Torah teaches us exactly that point, that one can always capture and preserve that unique relationship. Kol HaMakom Asher Azkir Hashmi Avoy Lecho V'Rachticha. That the Torah Hashem, that is always our opportunity, an opportunity of linkage. You don't need the Mikdash Hashem for that. You don't need the Sukkah for that. But rather, it is the Simchas HaTorah. It is through the Limud HaTorah, right, that one could carve that relationship. And the answer is that there's no need. There's no need to separate at all. And therefore, the relationship of a Shmini Atzeres, of a Simchas Torah, after all, because that is the true answer to that lofty Madrega that we're able to experience during Yom Noraim and during Chag HaSukkos as well. And this is part of what it is that we celebrate when it comes to our yeshiva b'sukkah. Mitzvah yeshiva, no doubt, but worlds more, right, to the significance of the mitzvah b'sukkah. Securing the kapara of Knesset Yisrael, underscoring the uniqueness of our relationship, that achidish and medrash, the hataras nidarim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to allow our relationship to endure, and the schus that we have to bask, albeit for that shorter window of time, in the kaviyochel mitzvah yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mm-hmm.